Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back to a brand new episode of Rip and Rock. We got a ton of great content, Rip, down there in Sarasota. The 3 days we went down for O-Spring training, we got stuff for Twitter, social media, but my favorite part about it was the interviews we got while we were down there with some of your former teammates.
Yeah, it was great to be able to spend time with them both on the record and off the record. It was a lot of fun. So a part of these special episodes, we have interviews. And for this specific episode, we have Mike Baumann. Mike Baumann actually played with on every single minor league level from 2017 to 2021. So I know the guy very, very well. But we got about 40 minutes with Mike talking about this upcoming season and what he's poised to hopefully build off of, which is a great 2023. And Rock, I think we learned a little bit more about Mike and where he comes from, and a little bit more about what makes him him.
Maybe some Minnesota hockey in there. Just a preview. Here's our interview with Big Mike Baumann. Welcome back to a brand new episode of Rip and Rock. I got Rip staring at me, giving me the creepiest look in the world on one side, and we have a special guest joining us, Orioles pitcher Mike Baumann. But we're here in Sarasota, spring training. It's a first for me. Your first as a non-player, right, Rip?
Technically second. But last year I came down here and didn't know what I was doing with myself. Like, I went in the locker room and did nothing except just sit down, talk with the boys, talk to my bud here, Mike. Hey, bud. How you doing?
Good, bud. How you doing?
Mike, I think you're the first guest on this podcast. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm honored. So like,
yeah. I mean, unreal.
I also can confirm that Ryan did just kind of come around last year and just not do anything.
Did nothing except I didn't know what to do with my hands. Actually, when I think Hyde came in and he looked, he's like, "Rip, good to see you. What are you doing?" And I'm like, I don't even know. But I think that's the part, is like the player part, is you get to see guys. So being down here this time and be able to I guess add in more of the media, because that's why we're here doing the pod, is to now talk a little bit more. Yes, this is technically on the record, but it's just great. I mean, I love it down. This is your first time to Sarasota. Mike, we met to give the backstory for people. Mike and I have been teammates. Correct me if I'm wrong here, bud. We've been teammates since 2017 when you were drafted.
Yep.
Right? Third round pick out of JU. Go fins up.
Yep, fins up.
And we played together every single year until I retired.
Yeah, up until 2021.
Yeah. So that's our context of us going back of how long we've known each other. So now it's weird being on the other side. I got a lot of FOMO seeing you guys on the field, I'll be honest. It's hard. But if you guys are doing well, I can live with it. And you're off to a great start, bud. It is always, I guess, how would you describe this? Everyone wants to get off to a good start, right? I think it's fair to say everyone's like, oh, I want to go out there, I want to give up zeros, or I want to hit a home run or get three hits in a game. It doesn't always work out that way. You're trying to feel good, but it's always nice when you're able to get off to a good start.
Yeah, I think you put in a lot of work in the offseason for 4 or 5 months, and then you want to, you know, you come in feeling good and you want to show everyone all the work that you've put in and the progress you've made. But, you know, at the end of the day, too, you haven't played baseball in that kind of atmosphere for 5 months as well. So there's definitely some rust to knock off. And, you know, we got 6 weeks to compete for jobs and get ready for the season and, you know, win games when the lights come on.
Yeah. Oh, good quote there. When the lights come on. Looking at it, though, because I was Rock and I doing this more and more to explain, You know, a lot of people with the hype of coming down, it's, again, hitting the gates running. We've looked at, like, with Grayson Rodriguez last year, with Jackson Holiday this year, the expectations of people trying to get going. But everyone has a different type of, I don't say they have their own story or narrative going on, but let's just face it. Some guys have an idea of what's going on, and they are trying to work to get ready for the season. And there's other guys competing for spots. And there's other cases where you just want to get, like you said, go out there and compete. Now, this is, correct me if I'm wrong, for you, fourth spring training, third spring training in the bigs, big league spring training?
This would be my
Yeah, losing track of the years. Yeah, that COVID year messed up everything.
This would be my fourth major league spring training.
Ooh, but it really. Yeah. Sorry, I call Mike Bud a lot. I don't know if it's just because he's from Minnesota and the accent. Yeah. I think that's where it started, the origin of it. But anyway, did you feel comfortability? We asked, Rocco was asking Grayson Rodriguez about it, about comfortability from year one to year two in spring training. Have you felt over the few years things have progressed as far as first year you're excited to be there, but you're anxious, but each year it's like, okay, I know my routine.
Yeah. I think the first year I was kind of walking on eggshells a little bit. Didn't want to get in anyone's way. Just kind of get the work in that I needed, keep my head down and just play baseball. But, and then as the seasons goes on, you're more familiar with faces and coaches and the players that have been around. And you know, you just kind of develop that camaraderie over those years, so you get more and more comfortable.
What do you enjoy the most, man? It doesn't even have to be baseball, just coming down here to Sarasota. I mean, like, baseball, it should be at the top of your list, of course, because it's your profession, but like, do you enjoy like just this atmosphere, just being able to do this and being in on the competitive side of it? Because 162 days, I mean, you're going and going and going and going, but this ramp up period, like you kind of talked about, being with the guys, being able to do things with them, and not only just dealing with baseball at the same time. What is that experience like being down here?
Yeah, it's just fun seeing the guys that, you know, you play, you know, you see them every day for, you know, the 7 months, but then you don't see them for 5 months. And it's just fun to, you know, show up and it's like you guys didn't skip a beat. And but it's great just facing guys in different uniforms again and just getting that rush of being on a baseball field. And at the same time, you're in beautiful Sarasota. And, you know, it's you know, we got business to take care of, but it's great just being able to hang out with the guys again and, you know, see the beaches and just be down here.
Dude, 70 and sunny compared to, like, Baltimore where it's, I mean, cold. When we came down here, I was like, oh, my God, different world. Like, it was beautiful. Didn't need to bring a jacket. Like, you guys got to love the weather too. You talk about baseball weather. I mean, this is prime time.
Yeah, it's tough to beat the sunny kind of weather, and you bring the sunscreen out, and it's great.
Yeah, you know what it was before here? It was like 60 degrees one day, and then the next day it was 30. So it's just, what are we doing here? It is what it is. But that was the thing I actually do miss a lot. Like, 6 weeks of spring training, you know you're down here. It's just a kind of a reset. Obviously, you got to focus on the baseball work, but there was just something about coming down in February and March. It's the best time of year to be in Florida, in my opinion. Summer, little uncomfortable, to say the least. But, hey, you moved north for a reason. Hey, since you have now gotten more comfortable, I want to touch on one thing, because you and I have talked about this off air, of getting comfortable in different roles, right? So you were a starter. And I've seen what you've done, and even Dak in 2019 through the no-hitter as a starter, and I always thought you could be a starter. But at the big leagues, you got to be asked to do whatever they ask you to do. And I thought you've done a great job of learning how to deal with it. But in your, like, I guess, could you try to explain this? Because I think people sometimes don't understand of, hey, if you're a reliever, it's just, oh, you're going to come in and pitch, and it's you should be able to adjust. It's not that simple, especially for you. You weren't relieving – up until really, truly relieving until the 2022 season.
Yeah, no, it was definitely new. But as a starter, you go out, throw 100 pitches, and that's a lot. You know, you got 5 days to get ready for that. And then as a reliever, one of the guys on the team said it best. It's like showing up to school every day with, you got to give a speech in English, but you just don't know when you're going to give that speech. So,
were you a good public speaker?
I had to do a lot of practicing, but
I was terrible, man.
So it's just, So, I mean, I think, it's a different kind of intensity in the bullpen. And, it's definitely an adjustment that had to be made. And you got to find a completely different routine.
You talk about the intensity. I think it's so cool, but like so crazy when guys come out to, you know, different songs. You got Felix coming out to the whistle. I remember there was a guy in the Phillies bullpen. He would just crush a Red Bull, crush it on his arm. What is like the last thing that you think of before you run out of the bullpen, take them out? Like, how do you fire yourself up and mentally prepare yourself to take them out?
I honestly don't really think. So I don't. It's probably, for me, that's the best way to go about it. Just not think and just go out there and throw the ball to the catcher and let the rest take care of itself. So, you definitely see some characters down there that do some crazy stuff.
Well, it's like the theatrics of it. Yeah. Some guys need to hype themselves into the situation, you know, and some guys can be as calm as possible. You've seen it firsthand. They can be calm, cool, and collective for six or seven innings as being a closer. And then once a certain point hits, they turn it on. I think the biggest part is figuring out how you can turn it on. How this was an impressive thing, I thought, last year for you. I loved how you were able to go into a situation. Talk about being able to handle a moment, and this is probably the best when you don't think. Going with runners in scoring position. I felt at one point, didn't you lead Major League Baseball in inherited runners?
Yeah, I was getting asked about that at the time. I was neck and neck with, I forgot who it was, but it was, yeah, there was a thing.
Point was, you were on a lot. So for a lot of people that are listening out there to this, that's the hardest situation really to come into. A lot of people, it's nice to have a clean inning when you get in there and you can maybe find a little bit of a routine, but it's, hey, get hot, get us out of this jam. But then I feel like for you, you did it once and it just felt like it just became routine. Was there something there that you that kind of made sense in those moments? Or was that just kind of, as you went and progressed, it naturally, you know, started to, and I'm going to say make more sense, but you got comfortable with it. You got to do something to get out of it. But people, a lot of people, it's not just why I'm bringing it up. A lot of people struggle doing this.
Yeah. They always preach, and you got to be comfortable being uncomfortable. So at first it's, you never do that as a starter. Obviously you start, you know, first pitch of the game, but then, I think once you get a feel for the game and as the starter goes, you kind of get an idea of, you know, you got last guy, two guys, if a runner gets on, you're going in the game. And I think that's just kind of, you get a feel for the flow. And then I think that's, honestly, sometimes that's the best part is when you can just go in the game and that's when you're not thinking, because you just kind of got to, it's like fight or flight.
Yeah, it's like you're thrown to the wolves. What do you do? What happens? It's interesting, but it's a hard position to be put into, especially at a place that you exceeded and you hadn't had a chance to be in the bullpen like a lot, like I said. And also, you low-key just were sneaking W's last year out of the pen, too. Shout out you on that, by the way.
Did you start out like 4-0 or 5-0 or 6-0 or something like that? It was like 9-1. We were talking about it. Yeah, you had like, you were undefeated for like, I think, the first six games or so of the season.
Yeah, I can really give a shout out to all those hitters that decided to hit all those home runs when I went in the game. But I think that's definitely a credit to them, though. Like, wins. It's not a crazy stat in this game anymore, but I think it's more of a testament to our team. Like, these guys are never going to be out of the game. Like, if it's the sixth, seventh, you know, ninth inning comes around and we're losing, it's like we're never out of it.
Mike, I feel like every kid that picks up a baseball and wants to pitch at a young age, they want to be a starting pitcher. Not enough kids fall in love with that relief role early on. At what point did you kind of fall in love with it and start to love being a reliever? Because I feel like it's at times it could be a tough transition for people. It's a lot to getting used to, but like, at what point were you like, all right, like I really like this. Like, this is something I could see myself doing for the rest of my career.
When they officially approached me with the idea that they wanted to make the full-time move to the bullpen and make that an everyday thing for me, is I think that's when I truly embraced it and be like, wow, I want to be the best reliever I can be. And that's when I started asking more questions and just like admiring guys like Felix and just being like, wow, this guy is unbelievable. And I didn't really appreciate what he did until I went through it myself. So I think, yeah, when I first was told the news, that's when I really fully embraced it.
Yeah. It's definitely not the roles that I think I try to describe people to what you have done. Just the relievers don't get the glory if you're not a closer. Sometimes a setup man will get it. Like Cano got a lot of praise last year, but he also closed out some games. He was great, right? But it's the dirty work. And you had to go, hey, Mike, we need you to give us two or three innings, or can you come and get a guy out like this in one batter, bases loaded, get us out of it? But you're not rewarded. People expect either if you do your job, you do your job and no one talks about it, right? Like that's the nature of the beast of baseball. I want to touch on that. You said a little bit, and I know this, last year was a really fun year for a lot of different things. I think it makes it easier to actually go out there and have success, right? And I think this year you had success personally for you at the big league level. I thought you did a lot of great things. You know, I know maybe it didn't finish the way that you necessarily wanted to, but you also pitched the most you ever did last year. What is kind of one of the biggest takeaways that you had? You know, we've heard Grayson talk about year one to year two, but for you, a first year of, okay, really relieving, gotten a rhythm. What did you take away from not only a very successful year for you personally, but also for the team?
Personally, I think it was just having the confidence and, you know, every good outing I felt I had, it was just a confidence boost and just being like, all right, I can compete here and I belong here. And it's, you know, there's definitely some downs that I could take away, learn from too. But ultimately, it was just like, you know what, I can – you know, I belong with these guys, and it was just kind of starting to understand that, you know, I can do it at this level. And, you know, there's definitely a lot more little things that I had to get better at, but, you know, it was just more of a confidence thing.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret, like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Mike, I feel like we gotta, you know, switching gears, like I feel like we need to get you like a run-out song for like Kyle Bradish was like, it's Knife Talk, the last song that he listens to before he comes out. Certain guys have their own, like, you know, Mariano Rivera had Enter Sandman. What would yours be? Like, would you have a preference like that they played over the loudspeaker Camden Yards when you run out of the pen?
I want to run out of the pen.
Oh gosh, he's getting nervous. He's getting red.
Come
over
on,
there.
Man. We're putting you on the spot so, here.
Okay, how about this? To let you think a little bit more, let's figure out the walkout songs you've had.
Yes.
Okay, I know. Yeah. Jukebox Hero.
That's kind of an underrated one, man.
Jukebox Hero. I started, my first ever walkout song was Pour Some Sugar on Me.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. That's like, I think of Kenny Powers when I think of that for some reason. Because didn't he have that in Eastbound and Down, or no? Am I wrong there?
We'll have to
Such
fact
a great
check.
Show. Yeah. I got to watch it over again.
Yeah. So a lot of people thought I was more of a classic 80s rock guy, which, I mean, everyone loves classic 80s rock.
I mean, exactly. Who doesn't? Yeah. You know, it's a fan favorite.
Dude, it's crazy the transition, though, from like listening to the music and kind of hating it as a kid with your dad in the car. And now, like, we're those people that are listening to it. It's like you approach 30, we're old men over here at 30, 31 years old. So it's just the way it is.
You have to say it that way.
I mean, yeah. Anyway, go ahead. But
I'm definitely that guy who loves to just watch, like, who's the guy from West Virginia with the highlight video?
Oh, the dude that blew up on Twitter, basically, and he's got the mullet.
No,
is that the one? Is it? Who am I thinking of?
I don't know now. Now I'm trying to imagine a mullet. and a intro. So keep going with your thought while we try to put this together.
So can we...
Are you trying to find it?
Yeah, because it's a super...
It went viral as we figure this out. So you're saying you like watching more than you actually having it for yourself?
Yeah, no, like I, you would definitely know who it is.
Now I'm a little bit irritated with myself.
Tavon Austin.
Oh, you're talking about the hype video. Yeah.
The hype video.
First of all, that was one of the greatest.
Yeah, I know we're going off of baseball here. And rightfully so in this comp. Is that the best highlight video?
He's a Baltimore guy too.
So something like watching something like that just gets me fired up.
Okay. Yeah. So is that what we need to have on the big board when just you're about to come like video. Now pitching
Austin, Tavon like, Austin.
Now but pitching you, and instead yeah. of your face going up, it's Tavon Austin's highlight clip.
Well, it's got to be a montage of him too. Like
no.
You got to throw some music on it and then like transition in some way, shape, or form. No?
No.
Right. No, just straight Tavon Austin.
All right, just straight Tavon Austin. Like it's like the only pitcher in MLB with Tavon Austin. That's awesome.
I can't believe he said, yeah, why didn't you say it was football? Of course, yeah, that's right. That. That's I'm right in our that, backyard.
Yeah, sorry. I was thinking, yeah, highly Tavon Austin's a...
He's a Baltimore guy.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah. That honestly, I think people still talk about it today, that is one of the premier highlight video.
That's like the one every kid watched in class. And I don't know if like, I mean, there's basketball hoop mixtapes. There's football, like the mixtapes of those, like, is there like, I don't even know, is there like a good baseball one that has like those kinds of highlights or not? Do we need to get one made?
I don't.
Should we get a Ryan Ripken?
Should we get F it Ryan Ripken highlights?
Yeah. Yes. Just like drop, yes. Drop the you know what I could give you? And maybe it's everyone has like their own, you know, cues. I always, when I would get ready to hit, like I would have a stretch with my one leg. Like that was my go-to. Mike knows what I'm talking about. Yeah. Just would like fix my batting gloves. Stretch my left hammy.
Okay.
And then, oh no, it was on my right. Now I'm trying to remember. Oh, might be the right. Stretch the hammy, dig in, and then get ready to go. And then push my hand straight back.
Yeah. You'd also give a lot of neck.
Oh, yeah. A lot stretch of neck movement. Stretch the neck. A lot movement. Of neck movement.
You still kind
of
do a lot of neck movement.
I think it's
like a tick.
You can't get rid
like
of it. It is.
Yeah.
It is.
So like, I don't know if you notice that. Like, he'll do it just like randomly.
Oh,
sometimes.
Yeah.
Like,
we'll yep.
Oh, he knows. I have a lot of things that I still need to work on. Maybe that makes me want to stay a part of the game. But that's the thing is like when you hear these stories about being in the locker room, being with the guys and like reminiscing about weird like mannerisms that you have, like that's what it's all about. But I think speaking of that in general, you talk about it with the guys, like in 2021 was very bleak being in the organization. So for people to remind, you know, I was here in AAA, we were teammates in AAA as well with the Orioles in Norfolk. Rough year for the Birds. Super rough. You got to make your debut, which was great. But also the team was in that rebuilding part, and we didn't know which guys were going to be a part of this new day and age. I think what's been really cool is to see guys like you and Dean and Bradish, you know, Cedric as well, seeing what he went through. I mean, even remember we were together in 19 when Cedric got demoted to AA, and then said he's first player in Orioles history with 30 homers, 30 doubles, 30 bags, right? I think it was the 30-30-30 guy. How cool has it been that actually this group hasn't been, I know people are clamoring out there, like sign more people, get more people. Mm-hmm. I think it's been really cool that you guys have been able to develop into a powerhouse with the boys, with the guys. Yeah. And I think that's what makes it even sweeter.
Yeah. It's definitely something we all kind of talked about, or you dreamed about being a part of that rebuild. And, you know, I think it's definitely more special for guys like Hayes and Cedric, who really went through those, you know, dark years where, you know, I only caught a little bit in 2021, but, you know, it is crazy to see how the organization has turned around. And, you know, Hyde's been a phenomenal guy to lead. And, you know, even 2022, just to win, what was it, 83?
Yeah, in the hunt for the playoffs until the last week.
And that, I mean, that's there was so much energy that year, and it was just night and day from 2021 to 2022. It's just so awesome to be a part of it.
What's for people out there that they wouldn't know, like, what is it? Can be a guy on the team that personally doesn't get enough recognition or something that's changed that people might want to know about, right? So like I look at it, I always tell people this of a backup catcher, that role backup. I don't like to say backup because catchers have to play so much nowadays, but you have a guy. So like I look at James McCann, and like James McCann coming in last year, I was like, man, this pickup might be an elite pickup that no one talks about. And that's a guy for me. I'm like, he spells Adley, looks like everyone likes throwing to him, and he seems like a great guy, and he's just a good player. Is there any of those, any player or something behind that maybe no one really talks about that that maybe deserves a little bit more recognition?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head with McCann, because yes, he just makes everyone around him better. And, you know, Adley gets a lot of love, but as he should, but McCann also is just brings so much to the table on and off the field. You know, he's a leader in the clubhouse. I definitely would put the words in my mouth, McCann.
Maybe it's because I just know you too well. I thought that that would be your answer, so I was setting you up. But
yeah,
I truly believe that when you look at that, hey, Rock, this is what it's about. But
well, you know, that's fair because
you guys can talk. I'll put the mic down.
That's fair because I was thinking about the question and he took the question out of my mouth.
You know what? I didn't want another situation when we're talking about that highlight tape that could have been a football player that we all thought was a baseball player. Rock, why don't you join the conversation?
Come on, join the conversation. You talk about a catcher like James McCann. I want to ask you about a pitcher that joined the team in the offseason. And, you know, Birdland was like, they were about the signing. They were iffy about bringing this guy in. But he's a guy that's seen so much success over the course of his career. He's a veteran. He's an all-star. And he's got one of the most unique pre-pitch rituals that we've ever seen. And I think that people behind home plate are going to have a field day with it. That's Craig Kimbrell. What has it been like just working with him in the bullpen, seeing him, talking to him? What does he truly bring to this bullpen?
I mean, he brings a Hall of Fame resume, a ton of experience, and yeah, the most iconic setup and probably
it's crazy, man. Like, it's just like,
I know a lot of people make fun of it. They're like, oh, that's stupid. That's intimidating to face when he's in that moment.
And it's like, it's almost like he was meant to be an Oriole, because you think of like a bird or like a wing, like he's kind of doing. Like, I don't know what he calls it, but like, it's kind of sick. But like him, like being here, coming from Philly, I mean, being on a team that was competing in the postseason just like you guys were, and with the resume, yeah, man, you touched on it, like Hall of Fame resume. Like, what are the conversations been like too between you? Like, what is he like?
He's been super open, and he's been willing to help, you know, everyone that he's talked to, all the pitchers, and he just brings great energy, which you love when you're in a bullpen with a guy. And it's just been so cool to be able to just, you know, kind of just talk baseball with him and see, you know, just talking about guys he's faced in the past and situations and bullpens he's been a part of and how things go. So I'm really looking forward to being able to pick his brain some more down the road.
He's a Huntsville, Alabama guy. That was my last market I worked. So like, I knew all about Craig Kimbrell when I worked back there. And then he goes to Philly, oddly enough, where like I'm from right outside of Philadelphia. Now he's here and covering Craig Kimbrell. So it's kind of like, it's weird.
Yeah, I was thinking about, you know, every time that you're surprised, Rocco likes to bring up the Iron Bowl football. Have you ever heard of it? Yeah. Auburn, Alabama.
Yeah.
Ever heard of it? Rocco,
I got roasted on his show because I said I'd rather take the Iron Bowl over the big game between Michigan and Ohio State. And I was take it
okay.
10 times out of 10.
And I'm a Big Ten guy.
You're like in Big Ten country. But
yeah.
Yeah,
so we're going off topic a little bit here, but I think this is also what people want to hear. Like Midwest, I don't think people truly know. I know the South has Auburn, Alabama, but I mean, I know you're a Minnesotan.
Yeah.
But Michigan, Ohio State, the game.
Yeah. I mean, don't sleep on the battle for the axe between the Gophers.
There we go. That's what I like to hear. Hell yeah, Mike.
Was it with the Gophers? Row the boat?
Yeah, row the boat.
Row the boat.
Sky, row the boat. Go Gophers.
So I can't tell you how much Mike has gotten me into following Minnesota, like the culture up there. The other thing that people might not know, what were you saying?
I forgot my trip to Minnesota. Like, The Juicy Lucy was like one of the best sandwiches.
You know about the Juicy Lucy?
I went to Matt's. I went to Matt's. Like when I was up in Minneapolis for the first time, I went there and I had it.
Oh, Ryan's feeling left out over here.
Dude, he should be.
He doesn't even know what we're talking about.
Dude, it burnt the hell out of me.
Now Ryan's needs to take a step back.
This is nice. This is how we do this. Yeah, you know, take a lap, bud.
Should I drop the mic myself now?
Yeah, you should. Absolutely.
Well, can you guys explain to not only just me, but to everyone's listening, what are you talking about?
Mike, I'll let you take this from here, but it's like, it was one of the best burgers I've ever had in my life.
It is basically it's a simple burger, but it's the patty is filled with cheese.
Yes.
It's stuffed with cheese.
Is it infused with cheese?
Yeah, and if you bite into it when it's like fresh, you know, they serve it to you. You gotta wait, man. Or like, I don't know if you're gonna cut into it, but like, you're gonna burn your mouth
because it squirts out.
That cheese is like so hot when it comes out.
It's like biting into a pizza roll.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah,
but the pizza roll is like that much more on fire, and it's cheese.
But it's amazing.
Yeah, it is. It's so good.
And they got different flavors. You can go like a pepper jack and
that jalapenos. I didn't know.
Yeah.
All right, so
you can get crazy with it.
Wow. All right, so. Being from like the Philadelphia area, like our thing is cheesesteaks. Like here, it's like it's crab cakes for you, Rye. Like it's like that's what you were brought up on. For you, like was in Minnesota, is it like Juicy Lucy? Is that like the staple, or is it like little Siri right there? But or is it like cheese curds? Are you guys big on that too? Like what is the go to food? Like you can say like, all right, this is ours. Like this is what you're gonna tell your buddies about, your teammates about when they go up there and, you know.
Yeah, when you go back to the home state.
Like, where are you bringing the guys? Like, yeah.
What's the food?
I think Minnesota's known for a hot dish, tater tot hot dish.
Ooh.
I think everyone knows about that. Basically just a casserole. But if I'm bringing anyone home, we're going to the Minnesota State Fair, and that's where you get your cheese curds. Anything on a stick, everything's fried. It's just a great Minnesota get together.
Dude, that's awesome.
You know, so there's a correlation with him bringing up burgers because he's said he's wanted a burger for the last I don't know how long. Well, though I offered you at the stadium if you wanted.
Oh, you did get me a dog. So yeah. I appreciate you. Yeah, thank you.
It could have been a burger. And also, I didn't tell you that story. I told Mike the story. The guy that served me the burger, his nephew was one of my baseball coaches. Wild. Then he called the coach, and we were having a conversation while he made the burger for Drew. Nuts. Anyway, a little side story here. But the other thing about just like the culture of it for us being together, you come from a place where I learned a lot about Mata Midai, the home of the Fighting Michael Baumans. By the way, but Rock, do you know what also the state of Minnesota is big on? You have no idea.
Can you give me can this be like a multiple choice?
I don't know where you're going with this.
It's a sport. Now you know where I'm going.
Obviously hockey, but
I mean, and not just hockey, the high school
the mullet one, hockey tournament.
The all hair team.
Oh my God, man. That's like one of the coolest things you see on ESPN, like every year, like the kids go, like that's, I didn't even think about that.
Rock, during spring training when we roomed together, Mike threw on the state champ or the state tournament for Minnesota, and Mata Midai was in the semis, right?
Yeah.
It actually is electric.
They won that year.
Is that
packed?
Like, is that like the biggest sport in the state, basically, when it comes to high school? Like, are the atmospheres like it's.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, like here it would probably be what, like football, basketball, like Florida, they have like big basketball and football, but like hockey's like, I feel like Michigan, Minnesota, like you see these arenas, these stadiums. I don't know firsthand, you do, but like they're freaking packed, man. The student section show up, like it's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And then the state tournament, you got the Minnesota Wild Arena, the XL Energy Center, and then it's just sells out.
18, they pack it in?
18,000 fans. Awesome.
Unbelievable. That was the thing, like watching it packed for a high school game. And that's just like, I guess in Maryland, lacrosse is the big sport.
Yeah,
right?
It is.
And a lot of people are going to go in high school to do that. But hockey, that was electric. That was a whole different world that I got to see. And see, that's what we're learning. That we want to know more about. The people want to know more about what makes Mike Baumann, Mike Baumann, right? But we've had you on for a while. I'm going to bother you on like a daily basis. That's a whole other conversation. Before we get you out of here, though, I think maybe I always like to have things tying in for people that are trying to maybe get to the next level, trying to like on the outside perspective here, okay? What is something, if you could look back over your amateur to get to the professional, you know, ranks, something that maybe you're like, ah, why did I worry so much about this? Or one thing you could change? Because I've had those moments so far, and maybe I'll explain. But do you have any of those? And if you need to think, I can give you mine.
Well, let's hear yours first.
See, I knew it. This is why. This is what happens, Rock. Yeah. You see this? So mine was as far as trying to be so perfect on everything that I was doing, specifically with hitting. Right. I felt like I had to be perfect instead of being okay with making mistakes and working through that failure. So I tell people when I work with them for hitting, when I do some lessons, hey, I don't care what you do in here. This is your safe space. Be okay with getting uncomfortable with it. Mm. And I wish I did more of that instead of feeling like I had to be perfect in practice when I was trying something new. Like, did you have anything that you went through? You're like, ah, maybe I could have done that differently, or like the next advice for the next generation.
Yeah, I definitely wish I didn't hang my head so low on like bad outings and treat it like it was the end of the world if I didn't have a good game. And you know, I wish I enjoyed the moment a little bit more, because at the end of the day, it's just such a, you know, there's always tomorrow and there's always another game in baseball, and you got to have a short memory.
Yeah, I agree. I remember I think it was Tim Raines Jr. told me in pro ball, it's like it connected with me. It's like your mind, if your mind's with you, you can do so much, but he goes, it just takes one to change your day. And if it's not today, tomorrow can be it. And so like, I was like, dang, I actually said that way better than I thought it was going to come out.
Good. That was good memory.
Do you want me to?
That's well said.
It was. And Tim Raines Jr. Awesome. Awesome dude. Also part of that Aberdeen staff when we were together in 2017. Any thought, final closing thoughts, Rocco, that you want to ask Mike?
I just want to know, like, if you've pitched a game when Ryan was sitting in his Ripken seats, his patented Ripken seats, and you see him, you ever notice him behind home plate, how distracting that can get sometimes when you have to stare at that mug when you're trying to pitch.
Yeah, I mean, when you just have that beautiful face behind,
thank you,
behind home plate, I think everyone knows when he's at the stadium.
It's yeah. It's ridiculous, because like I was sitting in the I think it was, what game was it last year? It was the game one, the ALDS.
Game two.
You were sitting game two, and I'm up in the press box, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm at the game." I was like, "Where are you sitting?" And like I see the back of his head, and I'm texting him, and he's like, standing up, looking around, like, and he's just chilling there. And I'm like, dude, you're on TV right now. You're like in the front row doing your thing, just enjoying life. So
it's actually kind of funny, because when I made my debut,
yeah,
you gave your tickets to my friends and family, and they,
what a guy.
They did not every time, because they would take turns.
Yeah,
because I think they only had two to four tickets or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, it was four tickets. Yeah.
So they'd take turns going up and down. The ushers did not believe that they had those tickets.
Yeah, I was trying to explain to people. It's like, no, for sure. They do. And I actually was watching it, because I forget where we were. It was 2021, so it was in Norfolk. But I was watching the debut and looking at it. And I was like, well, wait a minute. Your mom's there. Oh, it's a new – oh, they're circling.
So they just kept going back.
They're circling. There it is.
That's awesome.
But hey, it's a good place to watch it. But I do get conscious of that. Like, you know, I don't want to, if you're on a hot streak sometimes, I'm afraid to even go anywhere near, because I don't want to be the problem. We're creatures of habit. I know you're a creature of habit on that.
Yeah. And you definitely can be a problem.
Yeah. That is a fact. Rocco says that definitely. You are the problem.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Well, why don't we, you know what, on that note, since we found out that I'm the problem, it's me. Shout out Taylor. That's a Taylor Swift reference, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Swifty.
Yeah. I'm a Swifty.
Big Swifties.
Yeah,
all right. Thanks for joining us, man. We gotta put in the petition to get you that Tavon Young played at Temple. Tavon Austin video board up there, so you can run out, you know, when he's dropping his thing on there.
Yeah,
so
please do. That would give me.
I mean, honestly, man, like, might need to happen. So
we'll talk to corporate and we'll try to make it happen. Yeah. But hey, Mike, you're a good kid, bud. We appreciate it. And for everyone else, though, if you like this, hit that like and subscribe. We have some of these special interviews.
Yeah.
So subscribe to the Rip and Rock podcast. We have it on, where do we have it on, Rock?
Apple, Spotify, really wherever you get your podcasts. Mike, where can everyone find you? Like, social media wise, are you active?
Or are you trying to hide?
No, you can find me on Instagram.
All right.
Big Mike Bauman.
Big Mike Bauman. There we go. All right. You can find Ryan on Instagram if you want and, you know, kind of go from there.
Yeah, it's at Ryan Ripken on X and Rocco DeSanger on X. But that's all we got. We appreciate you guys tuning in. Until next time, enjoy your evening, and we will see you for a brand new edition of Rip and Rock. Well, thank you all for listening. Thanks to Big Mike for coming on. It's so great and actually to hear. And I'm a huge Mike Bauman believer. I think that he has all the intangibles and all the skills to really help these Orioles this season. And to be honest, Mike's just a great guy, Rock. And we're hoping in these interviews that this is what you're going to see, more and more of what makes these Oriole guys who they are.
Absolutely. And we might have to get some Tavon Austin highlights on the big board when Mike comes out to pitch, to fire him up before he runs out there to the mound. It's got to happen this year.
Has
Camden to. Yards. Petition for it. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you to Mike Bauman for joining us on the show. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, really, wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow me on X at Rocco DeSangro, Ryan on X at Ryan Ripken, both of us on Instagram. You can find us by searching our names. But thank you so much for tuning in. We really appreciate you all for listening every single episode and giving us your time as much as we give you our time as well. So thank you again for tuning in to a brand new episode of Rip and Rock. We'll see you next time with plenty more content coming your way.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.